15, verses 42 through chapter 16, verse 8. Hear the word of the Lord as I read out the New International Version. It was preparation day. That is the day before Sabbath. So as the evening approached, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent member of the council, who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, went boldly to Pilate to ask for Jesus' body. Pilate was surprised to hear that he was already dead. Summoning the centurion, he asked him if Jesus had already died. And when he learned from the centurion that it was so, he gave the body to Joseph. So Joseph brought some linen cloth, took down the body, wrapped it in linen, and placed it in the tomb cut out of rock. Then he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where he was laid. And when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Salome brought spices so that they may go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, after the sunrise, they were on their way to their tomb when they asked each other, "Who's going to roll away the stone to the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. He says, "Don't be afraid," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. But he's risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went down and fled from the tomb. And they said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. The word of the Lord. When you pick up a newspaper these days, you always run across some kind of tragic accident or bad news, especially what's happened in Bosnia and Belgium and in Brussels, I'm sorry. It shocks the whole world. And you wonder, Lord, what's going on? This is horrible. You pick up the paper and you read the local news about what's going on and you find some kind of bad news. Is there any hope? How can the church respond in the midst of this tragedy, this worldwide tragedy, in light of this terrorism that's attacking the world? What does Easter mean in the midst of this kind of pain and suffering and tragedy? How can anything we say relate to what goes on in the world? I think this morning relates directly, the text in Mark relates directly to what is going on in the midst of this sense of tragedy and horrible stuff that's going on. And I wanted to share some observations that I found in this text, Mark chapter 15. To provide some kind of comfort, to give you some kind of insight that how Easter is a big part of hope for a very hurting world. So the first thing I'm going to share with you is that Easter is centered around a loss of hope. If you look at the first part of this text from verses 42 to 45, you see it was preparation day, you hear about Joseph of Arimathea and what he does. He goes before the council, and he asks for Jesus' body, and it's granted to him. I think in the same way when America hears about a tragedy or faces it on its own soil, Good Friday, known to be the death of Jesus, was an incredible day of desolation. It was a day of gloom. It was a day of shattered dreams. It was a day of depression. Can you imagine if you were with Jesus, following Jesus with the hopes of him being a Messiah, that he would set up his earthly reign that you've been waiting for, that your family and for 500 years, your families have been telling you about this coming of a Messiah, and you're so excited, and what happens? we see that he's executed. And he said, 3 years of your life following this man, was it a waste? So when Jesus died on the cross, the disciples are not found on the scene. They are scattered. You only see the women there at the foot of the cross. What happened to the disciples? Well, we know earlier in Mark, Peter was there. When Jesus was going through his arrest and his conviction, what was Peter doing? He was kind of lingering in the background. He was in the courtyard of the high priest, and he sat with the guards, warming himself by the fire to figure out what's going on. And when they turned and they tried to recognize him as one of the disciples, what did he do? I don't know that man. And it's interesting because you don't see one disciple at Jesus' crucifixion. They were gone. They scattered. They were worried for their life. They were scared. All their hopes, their dreams were crushed by this tragedy. And so there's this deep sense of loss. There's a sense of the carpet being ripped out from underneath you. And you have to rethink, well, what do I do now? In these opening verses in Mark, you see Joseph trying to make sense of what's going on. And he goes before the king, and he asks for Jesus' body. And we don't know about this man. All we know is that he was waiting for the kingdom of God, which scripture describes him as a very pious man. I think deep down he really wanted to believe that Jesus was the Messiah. And again, his hopes were crushed. And so when they executed him, he took personal responsibility to say, I will get it. You see, when people are executed, usually the family takes care of the body. But for some reason, Joseph wanted to do something to respond. And so I think the fulfillment of the messianic hope had been crushed upon the death of Jesus. Everybody, it affected everyone deeply. And they were grieving, and they were mourning, and they were saddened, and they were depressed. Friends, can any of you relate when life gets pulled out from under you? When you're going on a certain trajectory and something happens? Maybe it's a loss of a loved one, or a loss of a significant job, or a loss of your expectations, or your hopes, and your dreams, and that something has to change radically in order to deal and cope. I think we can all relate to this sense of loss during this time when Jesus was crucified. But you know what? The good news is that the Easter story has some sense of hope. It is centered around the loss of hope, but there is more. In fact, Easter, secondly, it is about people searching for hope. If you look at verses 46 all the way to chapter 16, verse 3, you see two groups of people trying to work out what their loss, what to do with their loss. And it's amazing that they did something, because they could either sit in despair, or they can get up and try and figure out how to go on with life in this loss. So if you look at Joseph, we don't know how he voted on the council, but it's the same council that condemned Jesus to the cross. And Jesus, he personally made arrangements. He didn't ask for the family to do it, he just did it, which shows some kind of desire to want to make amends, to figure out how to make life go forward. You look at the women, they were there. They saw Jesus executed. They cry, they mourn, and they just cannot figure out why, in their hopes and dreams of a Messiah, how these people could just execute him and their Messiah is now dead. They did something, so they realized, well, let's take care of the body. They probably recognized that Joseph only wrapped the body with a cloth, and in this particular burial custom, it was custom to wash the body from the blood and to wrap them in spices and bury them, to wrap them in a fresh, clean cloth. And so I think that was their intent, when the women ran to the tomb that day with their spices, hoping that they can traditionally set and make things right for Jesus. And so these women probably, they waited for the Sabbath to be over, and they brought their spices carefully to preserve Jesus, only to find that something entirely different was in store for them. It's interesting that both the Joseph and these women, they faced their fears head on. And without despair or depression, they tried to do something to make sense out of the situation. I heard that clinical depression is a point in a person's life when you just don't want to get out of bed. You are so sad, and you just don't want to do anything. You just want to sleep and wish life to go away. Friends, if life has given you a curveball, and despair is a temptation, I encourage you this Easter morning to get out of bed and to do something. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're here to hear the Word of God, and I'm glad you're here that you can be with us to celebrate that Jesus did rise from the dead. So thirdly, Easter is centered around a loss of hope. Easter is about people searching for hope. And thirdly, Easter is discovered through Jesus' resurrection hope. Chapter 16, verses 4 through 6. When they looked up, they saw the stone, and it was very large, and it had been rolled away. And as they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe standing on the right side, and they were alarmed. He says, "Don't be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him." It's incredible that there's this almost a small miracle for these women that occurred Easter morning through this messenger. In fact, it's interesting how God sends this messenger to minister or to address the fears of these women specifically. And it happens in three ways. One, he addresses their fears. He says, "Do not be afraid." Granted, these women were scared because of angels dressed up in white robes and empty tombs. And if I were them, I'd be scared too. But it's interesting how the angel addresses their fears and says, "Do not be afraid." Those of you who are going through some sort of despair or feels that the heaviness of life is crushing down upon them and upon you and you don't know what to do, I think God wants to send you a message today. And he wants to say to you, "Do not be afraid." That's the first thing that the angels did. And the third thing he does, the second thing he does is he identifies their need. He says, "You're looking for Jesus, huh?" I think God knows our situation. And regardless of whatever despair or frustration or hardship we're experiencing, God knows our situation in an incredible, deeply, and personal way. And God wants you to realize that he divinely knows your situation. He knows what you're going through. You are not alone, even though you feel this sense of despair. So don't be alarmed, and know that these messengers identify your need, and God wants to tell you that he understands your situation. And then lastly, he shows them the power of God. What does the messenger say to these women? Well, guess what? Don't be alarmed. You're looking for Jesus who was crucified. Guess what? He has risen, and he is not here. Why is the fact that Jesus risen so significant to you and to me? It's everything. It's everything. First of all, it shows us that God's word is true. If you look at another scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3, it says, "For what I have received, I pass on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures," which that text needs to emphasize more than once. The fact that the death and resurrection is the fulfillment of scripture is an incredible testimony to the divinity and the incredible power of what Jesus did on the cross. And Jesus did it exactly the way the scriptures told us it would happen. Secondly, I think Jesus' resurrection is significant is because not only is God's word truth, but Jesus conquered death to offer us eternal life. Look at Romans 6:9. It says, "For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once and for all. But the life he lives to God." And then the text says, "In the same way, count yourself dead to sin, but alive to Christ Jesus." That means that I, as a person who messes up on a regular basis, can go to God anytime because of what Jesus did on the cross. And I know that I am forgiven. I don't have to live my life up to X, Y, and Z and make sure I follow A, B, C, D as well in order for me to become a Christian. But the reality that Jesus has conquered death to offer all of us eternal life is amazing. 1 Corinthians 15:54 says, "When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then saying what is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, because he's given us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, because of what Jesus did on the cross, and he rose from the grave." And then thirdly, I think the reason why that Jesus rose is significant is that the power of resurrection has the ability to transform lives. If you look at Paul's writing in Philippians chapter 3, Paul writes, and we read this before in a past sermon, it says, whatever was a profit to me, I now consider a loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord, for whose sake I've lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having the righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that comes through faith in Jesus Christ. And Paul continues on saying, I want to know Christ in the power of his resurrection, in the fellowship of his sufferings, to become him. Like him, to become like him in his death. It's being able to say no to sin and dying to the stuff in our lives that keeps us from a relationship with God. And it's embracing Christ and knowing that through that embracing of Christ, we become the new people. Paul used to be a certain way, and now this Apostle Paul considers that his old life rubbish because of what Christ has done in his transformation in his new life. In Christ. So it's interesting, Easter is discovered through Jesus' resurrection hope. But lastly, Easter confronts us with the decision to have hope. In verses 7 through 8, it says, "But go tell the disciples and Peter that he's going ahead of me to Galilee. And there you will see him, just as he told you. Trembling and bewildered," those are two key words, "the women went out and fled the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid." The women do not tell anybody because of their fear. Now, in the sunrise service, we read a parallel text that came out of Luke that said the women ran to the upper room where the disciples were, and they told them of everything that they saw, right? So here you are looking at two parallel texts in the Gospels, one out of Mark and one out of Luke, and one says one thing and one says the other thing. Now, you have to remember they're written by different people witnessing things from their own interpretations. And so there may be no accurate answer, but it looks like these women were so bewildered that they did not tell anybody for a period of time. But we know in Luke that they did run and tell the disciples that Jesus did rise and that they found him and an angel spoke to him and all that. One says that two people were there, one says one person was there. That's besides the point, it just shows a different interpretation. I think the two people representation of the angels or whatever demonstrates credibility. I think Luke was trying to bring credible evidence to these women and their testimony. And so it was a testimony of two people to verify that Jesus was God. And so I think what's going on here is a decision that has to be made. Either we walk away from the good news of the resurrection of Christ, or we always live in fear and despair because life is kind of ripped out from underneath us. Friends, I think we are called to a new life in Christ. And because of Jesus' resurrection, we can embrace Christ, we can follow Christ, we can be forgiven by Christ, and we can have a new life in Christ. You do not have to live under the way the rest of the disciples were at that one Luke text that says they were in. You know, they didn't believe the women because they just couldn't believe that Jesus rose from the dead. Friends, I believe that being a Christian is one of the most amazing things that you can ever do, is to be able to follow after Christ and say, Lord Jesus, take my life. I want to follow after you because of the amazing things that Jesus has done for you and for me. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. But whoever lives and believes in me will never die. And so, friends, one of the greatest messages of Easter is the fact that Jesus Christ did rise from the dead. The tomb was empty. He conquered death so that we can have life. And friends, if you are living under despair, I encourage you to follow Jesus, because Jesus will transform your life. You'll live a life with purpose and meaning. Let me close with a story that I hesitate sharing with you. But I recently lost a dream job. I worked for the national headquarters of the Presbyterian Church. I had a dream job as a national director for evangelism and church growth for the whole Presbyterian Church USA. And I was doing that for about 7-8 years, and I was loving what I was doing. I thought we were doing a great job. We were just making incredible impacts in the denomination as far as trying to challenge the church to grow and start new churches. And then this political sweep that I got caught in made me lose my job. And so in one sense, I've been there. I've had the carpet just ripped out from underneath me. You kind of go, you know, you work your whole life to try and do something that you think God is calling you, and then what do you do now? And in the midst of my despair, I you know, what should I do as I discern? God, what do you want? I know my heart. I love ministry, and I will never turn my back on the church or whatever church God puts me in. But I realized that I had to do something, that I just couldn't just sit around and mope. And so I started to get my job at Starbucks, and it offers better health insurance than the Presbyterian Church and the continuation benefits. And so I'm thankful that I can continue and have a certain purpose, and I can continue to help my family. And God does provide, and God does help and reshape. And do I have it all figured out? I do not. I don't know what my next journey that God is calling me to. But you know what? When we walk with Jesus, and that sense of despair is gone, because my hope is in Jesus. I love Jesus. I want to follow after Jesus. And Jesus calls, shapes us, and molds us, and calls me to say, follow me. I want you to be one of my own. And so as a child of God, I cannot think of anything greater than being a child of God and following in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. Then fill a life filled with despair and anger and bitterness and everything else. So friends, the good news of Easter is that Jesus rose from the dead for you and me. Offer us a new life and a sense of hope for every one.
Thank you.
with me together. So Lindy, that you used last year, and I thought it was appropriate to use it again. You said it in